and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guests are our dear friends and the founders of the Moscow Good News Church and Renner Ministries, Rick and Denise Renner. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue. Welcome, everyone, to Gray Street.
Yes, hi there.
We are thrilled today to have one of the great brains in the world.
Yes.
This man writes more books probably than anybody in modern history.
Oh, my goodness.
And he is brilliant, and I love him. Rick and Denise Renner, all the way from Moscow, pastors of the Moscow Good News Church and head of the Renner Ministries, which you have great new offices in the United States now, don't you?
We do. Yeah. I'll tell you, our ministry is just exploding. We got the new building in Tulsa. We're building a new studio in Moscow that is amazing.
Yeah, we actually watch your show.
So thank you. We are on PTL, the Voice of the Prophets.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing us to be a part.
Yes, Mondo, what times are they on? You're the network expert.
Yes, sir. Rick Renner's program is on Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Every day. And his wife sitting next to him, a person I love so dearly.
Our beautiful Denise. Yes.
Denise, what time is her show on?
That is on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Denise Renner's Ministries. You can catch it on the PTL Network. Saturdays at 3:30 p.m.
Thank you.
Wow. So we're glad to have both of their shows on our network. And
it's an honor.
They are missionaries to the world.
Amen.
They're going out to all the world. You know, the Bible says the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come.
Amen. Yes.
I believe you're right in the middle of that.
I believe we are too. And you know, it says, and then, the Greek says, and precisely at that moment.
Wow.
So really, it just all depends on the gospel going to the ends of the earth.
So we have to stay on the air.
We have to stay on the air, and you need to support PTL. You need to support this ministry.
That's right.
Because this ministry is really reaching the ends of the earth with teaching and books. And I want to say thank you for what you've been doing all these years. You know, right now, our son is with us here today.
Yes.
I said, Joel, I can hardly wait for you to meet these legends because of what you all have done with your lives to reach the ends of the earth. Thank you.
Would you introduce him?
I sure will.
Get me a camera.
This is Joel Renner. And he's actually he's the head of our ministry. He's the CEO of our ministry.
Wave at the camera so they can know who you are. There it is.
But I mean, think about it. I've been watching you all since I was a kid.
Oh, my.
I mean, you've been impacting me for a long, long time.
And me too.
And every time we come to this property, I feel like I'm driving on holy ground.
Mm.
So excited to see you and Lori and your family. Mm. We love you all.
We love you. You too.
And I want to say to you as viewers that sometimes when you watch TV, you don't know if these people are really real. These are really real people. And I'll tell you, the Bakers live to do what Jesus has called them to do. They don't have anything else to do. We're here to serve Jesus.
That's it. That's all.
And I want to thank you for being so committed to what you're doing.
To the world, because all I feel is to preach the gospel. That's what I'm living for.
Yeah.
And Lori and I, there with our dogs, we live to preach the gospel.
Amen.
We want to be faithful because I believe Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
And I believe you're here to usher in the coming of the Lord, to help usher it in. That was prophesied over me when I was 19 years old, that I was to help usher in the coming of the Lord. And I believe, I can't believe God called you to Moscow is where you're located, but you go all over the world. I watch your show all the time.
Thank you, Brother Jim.
You know, we have the DirecTV, and you're on that. And end of year on our network. But I was, so I'm able to just record it every day. And I see you all over the world. You don't sit still, do you?
No, I'm not very good at sitting still. I'm the worst person to go on a vacation with because I work the whole time.
But you're preaching the gospel.
Preaching the gospel, or we're writing books.
From all over, and you're reaching the world. Yeah. You're reaching so many places with the gospel.
And Brother Jim, think what a miracle that it would be happening from Moscow.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where our main studio is. I mean, we went to Moscow to reach the Russian-speaking people, and now from there, we're taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're really living in a time unlike any other previous generation.
And you deeply love the people of Moscow.
Yes,
and
we
of,
do.
Of
yes,
Russia.
We do. Well, we became citizens. So,
well, you know, so many people begin we hate each other, even in the church. Well, they don't believe the way we believe. You know, they sprinkle or they did this or they do that. You know, we've got to love each other. And
yes.
Oh, my God. I have such a burden to reach the decadent people in our country. Because America's turning decadent.
Well, actually, it's pretty sad what's happened in America.
It is.
Even on this trip, Denise and I have seen so many confused people.
Yes. Oh, my.
You just see people and you think, they're so confused.
Yes.
You know, you can't tell whether it's a man becoming a woman or a woman becoming a man.
Yes.
And people making irretrievable mistakes.
Yes.
And we've got to help people. And the Bible is the answer.
It is.
People will be sobered up by the teaching of the Bible.
That's right. If they'll read it.
If they'll read it. And if pastors will preach it.
And if pastors will preach it.
Because there's a lot of
good. Are you not afraid to preach everything in the Bible? I mean, you do it. So so many pastors say, well, we're afraid to offend people.
I don't worry about that. My job is, you know what? We don't call ourselves. And when we stand in the pulpit, we don't represent ourselves. We are the Lord's spokesman. Now,
I love your golden, I call them golden gems. Sparkling gems.
Sparkling gems.
The two big, huge volumes that you did.
Brother
I think
Jim.
That's some of your best work.
Thank
I
you.
Love what you do.
Thank you.
Do you think the Hebrew and Greek and studying the depth of the word is the basic foundation of understanding God's word?
Absolutely. And you know, in Psalm 119, it says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. There are wondrous things in this book. And I believe that my job is to help to open it so people can see things they've never seen before.
Yes.
Treasures, gems that are just lying in the Bible waiting to be unearthed.
Yes, and you do. And you are an expert, really, and at the Greek, and you break it all down for us to understand what it really is saying. And that we appreciate that so much.
Thank you.
We really do. I mean, because you just read it and then you're like, what does that really mean?
Well, let me tell you something about my writing. Okay. I don't write books for people. I write them for me. And everybody else gets the benefit of my research.
That's right. That's
so awesome. When I sit down to write a book like this new book called Apostles and Prophets, I wrote this book for me to refine what I really believe about apostles and prophets, because when you put something on paper, it lives forever.
So is this a college book?
Kind of looks like a college book, doesn't
amazing.
It?
Look at it in my hand, because it is so big.
Yes.
It's
incredible.
I think it's 700-800 pages.
I think it's 780, something like that. It's funny because when I started writing it, I said, Denise, I think this is going to be one of my smaller books.
You did. But I think we need this book right now because I believe the apostles and prophets are important today.
Well, of course, you have the voice of the prophets. That's what this is.
Yes.
But I want to tell you why I wrote this book. May I?
Yes.
In the past couple years, if you look at YouTube, it is just loaded with people calling themselves apostles and prophets.
Yes.
And some of them are, and some of them are not.
That's right. And you got to know.
And you have to know. And so if you see some that are just silly, it makes people just turn off the whole thing.
It does.
And we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And so I said to Denise, I feel like we need a book to discuss what is an apostle, what is a prophet, and we need to approach it from a historical, intellectual, and biblical standpoint.
Yeah.
And that's why you say this is like a textbook. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really believe this book is going to be the go-to book on the subject of apostles and prophets. And it's amazing to me that people who stand in the apostolic and the prophetic gift, they are contacting me saying, wow, this is possibly the best thing ever written on this subject. And I didn't write it for anybody but me, but I really believe it's going to form a foundation. If you know what the Bible says, then you can judge what's right and that's you can it. Know what's wrong.
Amen.
And that's what we
And need. We've got to know.
We have to know.
We have to know truth because the Bible talks about deceiving
spirits
in the last days.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm very concerned because the Bible talks about that there will be prophets and false prophets and evil people working miracles.
That's true.
Signs and wonders.
But you know, Brother Jim, when the Bible talks about false prophets, that word false prophets, if you look at the Greek word and take it apart, it really describes bogus prophets, pretend prophets, or wannabe prophets.
Mm. Oh, my.
I think that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of wannabe prophets. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a prophetic inkling, but that does not make you a prophet.
Right.
To be a prophet is it's an office that you stand in, and it's really a respectable gift. Yeah. The same thing with the office of the apostle. I mean, most people who are calling themselves apostles, they misuse the term. They don't even know what it means. People say, well, an apostle is a pioneer, or apostle is an innovator, or a groundbreaker. He's done something that nobody else has done. Well, all of that is true, but that's not what the word apostle means.
What does it mean?
An apostle is one who goes where the church has never been established, and he builds the church in a brand new place. And it's interesting, the earliest usage of the word apostle was the word admiral, and it was an admiral who traveled with a fleet of ships. And in that fleet of ships were road builders, educators, teachers. And when the admiral arrived in the Greek world, he was literally called the apostle. He disembarked with an apostolic team, a naval crew, and they began to replicate society as they thought it should be. And that's what apostles do. They establish the church where it's never been established before, or with a people group, maybe, where there's not much church activity. That's what an apostle is. And they have to have the anointing of God to do what they do, because they work in territories where hell tries to stop them. And to be honest, there are some people who say that that's the call that's on our lives. And we have gone where others have not gone. Look where we live.
Right.
And sometimes people say, well, how have you been able to do what you do? Well, it's not because we're so brilliant. It's really because of the call on our life.
Right.
An apostolic call gives you the ability to go where others cannot go. It empowers you to stay there. You don't tuck your tail and run. You stay put, and you establish the church. Amen. That's what apostles do.
Mm. You know, of the things, we were having this conversation a few weeks ago. What I got out of this book is we pray for discernment, and I love praying for discernment, but then we fail to have an application of how to develop discernment. And I want to tell you something. When we do this research to bring guests on this program to talk about certain topics, especially the Bible and Bible prophecy, we are very careful to who we bring on the program, who we consider to be on the program, who are people suggesting to be on the program. And I can tell you that our team goes into prayer, but then the application. And I ask the Lord, God, give me discernment, but also allow me to have the application of how to discern prophetic voices in this hour, because I don't know what those people do behind the scenes. I don't know who they go to bed with. I don't know how they do business. I don't know how they conduct themselves behind the scenes, because when we have a moral and spiritual responsibility to bring to you people that we trust, people that we feel that we can trust, to give you a word to help you. Because if you're praying for direction in your life and we bring someone here that is just giving word after word after word after word, or someone is suggesting it because they have, and this is the mistake we make, just because they have thousands of followers on social media, we think that that solidifies the call to be a prophet or an apostle. Yet when you find what they're doing behind the scenes, you become responsible for what you bring to the table and you get convicted. And for me, Pastor, this has been is going to be one of the greatest books I can discern the fruit of the Spirit behind the gift of the calling that they profess to have.
Manda, do you believe every preacher should have this book as well as every home?
100%. In order to discern the hour of social media that we're in right now, most people, this is the research, most people get their news from social media sites, yet it's so fabricating because technology today can grab my face, put it into another person, and create videos pretending to be me, yet that becomes the headline news. Yet, what do we do when so-called prophets and apostles are, is what we call Facebook prophets or parking lot preachers, you don't know who they are, yet this will give you the application to discern what are the characteristics that you have to have in order to show yourself approved and become that voice. But when it comes to social media and where we are today, it's a very thin line on how to discern who is who. So pastors, if you're a Bible scholar, if you're a person that loves the word, if you love having a word given to you, you have to learn how to develop the application to discern who they are and what they bring to the table with the fruit of the Spirit.
This book will absolutely put people on a foundation. You know, the Bible tells us at the end of the age, many people, and in Greek it's the word poloi, it means multitudes, will follow false revelators. We're living in that day, I think, because of social media and because of YouTube. But that doesn't mean everybody's false. There's real prophets out there, and you have a lot of them on your program.
Yes.
You know, recently you had Joseph Z. I love Joseph Z.
I just saw that he, you know, that he did, he endorsed your book.
He's a good friend of mine. Perry Stone's a good friend of mine. I mean, there's a lot of Kenneth Copeland.
Yes.
There's a lot of really strong prophetic voices. And then there's a lot of nonsense. And you know, it's really interesting what Peter says. Listen to this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter's talking about false revelators. And he said, they will make merchandise out of you with feigned words. The word feigned in Greek is the word plastos. Do you hear a word? It's where you get the word plastic. And it describes people who just make plastic words at will to fit the ears of whoever is listening to them at the moment. That's the way a bogus prophet operates. A real prophet doesn't just make up words at will. And in fact, when you understand what Peter says, prophets don't even have the ability to self-loose or self-release a word. He says they speak as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's in this book. That word moved is a Greek word which describes a ship that has set its sails. So prophets are individuals who have learned to spiritually set their sails. They're ready to catch the movement of the Spirit. But even if a ship has its sails set, it can't move unless the wind is moving. So the job of a prophet is to be in the presence of God, to catch the wind of the Spirit if the wind of the Spirit is moving. And the truth is, prophets do more listening than they do speaking. They're in the presence of God, trying to catch that movement of the Spirit. And when you find somebody that's just constantly just producing, it just almost seems at will, be very careful of that. So you have to be able to recognize what's real and authentic and what is not. And that's what this book is going to really
because
help your people do.
It's eternal life at stake.
It is.
And you don't want to follow false prophets. You don't want to, they're going to say, oh, you're fine. It's just like our government. They don't talk a whole lot about what's the difficult. They just, oh, it's okay. Everything's fine. The Bible talks about suddenly. And I believe this year there's going to be a lot of suddenlies take place. And,
you know, Brother Jim, especially after the last presidential election, a lot of people became upset with the prophetic group because it seemed like a lot of their prophetic words did not come to pass. Right. And people are tempted just to say, we don't want any more of that. And they despise prophecy. And we're told in Scripture not to despise prophecy. And so the last time we were here, we talked about our Christmas book. Thank you very much.
Yes, beautiful. It was so beautiful.
And and people love that book.
It sold out. We couldn't even.
Oh, we couldn't either.
They get the paper. Well, they couldn't even get enough paper to print it. It was so quality.
Thank you.
Everybody's, beautiful. And we gave it to all of our board members. We gave it
oh,
to
thank you.
All of our yes. dearest friends also.
Well, I believe this is more important.
And it was, and it's a collector's item, and I hope everybody has them by now.
Thank
we tried.
Thank you.
And but you're saying,
if possibly. We promise something, we will get it to you.
Yes.
Even if there's a paper shortage or whatever, but in these last days, you're going to have to stand with truth and not get angry every time something bad happens with the church.
Because, so as beautiful you know, and amazing as that book was, your Christmas book, that when you were on last, you just said this is more important.
It is much more substantial. Mm. And especially your viewers that really love to dive deep into the Bible.
Yes.
They're going to open this book and say, what? Because we discussed the signs of an apostle, what are the four aspects of a prophetic ministry, how to judge who's real, who is not real. I mean, those are things we really need in this day. And like
we
Brother
do.
Jim said, at the end of the age, there's going to be seducing spirits even working inside the church.
Yes.
Yes. So I want everyone to order one for your home. This is something be in your library. On the screen, it doesn't look as big as it is. It is a major book. It's got probably $50 worth of paper in it. It is so big. And it is a powerful book. And you need to know how to identify the real apostles, the real prophets. And I want you to get that three of them.
Yes.
Nana,
yes, that's right.
Because I'll give one of them.
Yes.
To your pastor.
Absolutely. Amen.
That's right. We have three available for a donation of $125 donation to the ministry. That does include the shipping and handling. And if you'd like to order one of the books, that's for a donation of $45 to the ministry. Shipping is included in all the offers here. You can call our toll-free number 1-888-988-1588. Or remember, you can also do your giving at jimbakershow.com at our website as well.
It's mentioned on the screen, the Baker's Dozen, which that's going to be a...
Yeah, that'd be a...
UPS is going to have a yes. heavy box to ship mm-hmm. with that, because that's going to be a heavy one. But you can get the Baker's Dozen for you folks that have a little spare money, $500, and that includes the shipping and handling. But this is a book that people will cherish. If you need an anniversary present or something special to give somebody, this is special. This is important. I want you to get it.
And the illustrations are magnificent.
Oh, my.
It's page
Once
after
again,
page after page.
Beautiful illustrations. Once again, you're the classiest people ever.
Oh, thank
okay,
you.
Seriously.
Denise is more classy than
well,
I am.
Well, she is. She's a class act. I love my Denise Renner. But these are absolutely stunning pictures. And, I mean... Do I even call them pictures? What do I call them?
Illustrations.
Illustrations.
Full color.
They're just full color. I mean, it's just beautiful. Thank you for putting these in there.
I think pictures help you see what you're reading.
Yeah.
We need to be able to visualize what we're studying.
I think most women do, but it's the first thing we turn to is the pictures in a book. Maybe everybody does. I don't know about you men, but I know us women do. And so then you're like, oh, okay. But these are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I really haven't introduced you totally, and so we got kind of into the interview because I'm so excited about this book. And you were with us, I don't know how long ago, a few months ago.
A few months ago, yeah.
But then,
and you told us about your new studios that you were building, and where are those new studios and how are they coming?
Well, that's in Moscow. It's actually across the street from our house. And that is our new studio. We built it to look like a house because it's in a neighborhood.
Is that what we're looking at there?
That's the exterior of the studio. And by the way, we have feet and feet and feet and feet of snow right now.
Sure.
And it looks like a house, but when you walk in that building, it is a full studio. Look at that. Is that beautiful?
Beautiful. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, my.
It's got a magnificent fireplace in the middle of it, and it's going to be a studio unlike anybody else's. We're coming from Russia, so it needs to have our own feel.
Yes.
And from that place, teaching that people can trust
Amen.
Is going to go around the world.
Praise
the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen. I'm looking forward to being able to Skype from that studio.
We'll do it.
On our show live every day if necessary.
Well, we would do
when
it.
When world things are happening, I would like to hear what you have to say about
it. Well, things are definitely happening.
Yes.
We're living in a season when We have to keep our ears open to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Do you think major events could even happen this year?
Brother Jim, on January 1st this year, I was laying in bed right by Denise. And I said, okay, Lord, this is the new year. I'm going to embrace it. And I just reached out and said, Jesus, I just embraced the year. And when I put my arms out, I felt such catastrophic events in my arms.
Oh, my.
And I said to Denise, we're going to see things this year on a catastrophic level like we have never experienced, but we're going to have the grace to deal with it.
Yes, mm. Amen.
And we personally are ready to do whatever we have to do for whatever happens. And, you know, we're kind of living in a precarious place right now.
Sure. I heard from one of the outstanding voices in the day, and he said last week he woke up weeping for what's coming.
That's right.
Is that how you felt?
It's exactly how we feel. Denise keeps hearing a rumbling.
Yeah.
And
hi, Denise.
Hi, Jim.
What do you feel is going to happen this year?
Well, I feel like there is a rumbling. It's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a couple things in some dreams that I don't want to say right now. Mm-hmm. But I just think that our foundation has to be more in the presence of God and knowing Him as our Lord, our Savior, Amen. Our hero, our peace, everything that He is, because He's going to give us the stability to and the power and the peace to walk through these troubling times. And I don't see us as overcome, but I see us as overcomers. I don't see us as overtaken, but that we overtake. And that we can bring comfort to those
who
are really going to be hurting.
Yes.
Their pride and their mask is going to fall off. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be desperate for answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the Lord wants to equip us as the church, Amen. That we show the manifold wisdom of God Amen. That's inside of us.
Yes.
Rick, I want to ask you something besides that. That is fabulous word.
Amen.
Rick, the Bible says that in the last days, God's going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. Do you think in the midst of this hellish time we're living in, we can see that outpouring at the same time there's an onslaught of hell?
We were talking about this today because of what's happening at Asbury University right now.
Right.
Yes. That's right. There's
and
a revival
Lee, and
breaking
Lee University
out.
Broke out
Amen.
This week.
Yes.
And we just saw that another major university has rented out the entire football stadium, getting ready for a prayer meeting.
Thank you.
And I really feel that there is an outpouring that is taking place prior to the judgment that is coming. But you know what, Denise, you are just so good, Denise.
I
appreciate everything you say.
Thank you.
In spite of the fact that the Antichrist is, I think, alive and well on planet Earth.
Oh, he's in the wings, just waiting to come center stage.
Evil is everywhere.
But you know, Brother Jim, I've listened to you for years talk about having contingency plans and having food and being prepared. Denise and I are making plans because we think that we really may this year encounter a moment when I don't know if we're going to have food.
Right.
Or I don't know if we're going to have electricity where we live.
Yeah.
And so we're making plans to take care of ourselves and to help those that we love.
That's right.
I believe, and God has been speaking to me about you for the last hour on this show, and I hesitated to say it, but I believe with all my heart that your church and your new studios and all that you're building are to be a part of the city of refuge, I call it. Manda, what's the word?
Goshen.
The Bible uses Goshen.
Yes.
You have heard of Goshen?
Of course.
But I believe,
and city of refuge. That's powerful.
Yeah.
But I believe your congregation, during whatever troubled times come, we'll gather in prayer, gather to be together, to encourage one another. You know, I'm telling my people, let's start taking some Jewish dancing lessons, because when the world's coming apart, we're going to dance. We're going to praise God.
That's it. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you.
Amen.
Again, I want to reemphasize this. The Bible says in the last days that He's going to pour out His spirit upon all flesh. How can this happen in the midst of what's going on?
Well, actually, the Bible says there's going to be a parallel revival.
Tell me
about
it. There's
going to be a revival in the church that's going to run alongside with wickedness in the world.
I didn't know that.
That's what we're saying.
I mean, I knew there's going to be an outpouring, and I know it's going to be all hell breaking loose. So that is a parallel.
Oh, it's a parallel. Actually, it's in 2 Timothy 3. It says that like Jannes and Jambres withstood the truth.
Yes.
Something's going to happen that's going to confront evil. So there's going to be a revival of the occult, a revival of evil, but God is going to pour his power out so strong that it is going to confront the evil that is in the world.
Yes.
And we're part of that move of God.
That's right.
I believe the judgment of God is going to fall on a lot of people, fall on a lot of cities, actually. But I believe millions, and I believe it's millions, I really do, are going to come to God.
During judgment, people come to Christ.
That's right.
Yes.
What a time to wake up.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to wait. It's like a wake-up call.
The greatest revival in world history is in front of us.
Amen.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
It is.
I believe that. Oh, I love your brain.
Oh, Brother Jim, I love
your heart. I love hearing from you. I love because you have such a wide knowledge of the Word.
Well, thank you.
Tell me again, how did you start studying? Was there a call of God on you from very young?
Well, I knew I was called to the ministry when I was 12.
Oh.
I was filled with the Spirit at 14. I was very, very impacted by the teaching ministry of Derek Prince.
Mm. Yes.
And the first time I heard Derek Prince teach from the Greek, I said, that is what I'm supposed to do. Well, I think I took it to a different level. So I went to the university, began to study Greek, and what I do is just all that I know to do. I don't know another way to do it. And so my job is to pull those gems out, teach line by line, and that's just what I do, Brother Jim.
Amen.
Oh, it's just amplification of the Word when you know the original.
Yes.
It is so powerful, and I'm so thankful for you. I think about you so often, because we have you on our network and we have you in our home. So when I walked into the green room, I thought, oh my God, these are my friends.
Oh, we feel that way about you all.
I mean, I hope people at home feel that about us, you know, because I want to be your friend. I want to be, because I'm setting up a date when all the people that have watched my show, we're going to meet in heaven, and I'm going to have a reunion, and we are going to have a time around the throne.
You know, last year I had a dream that I went to heaven, and I'm not so sure that it wasn't a dream. And it was all night long. And the woman who was giving me the tour looked at me and said, Ricky, because I knew her from a childhood, she said, I can kind of tell you're surprised that I'm here.
Oh, that is great.
And I said, yes, I am. And do you know, I saw all the people that I went to church with as a child in church. They were all together. Amen. They were all together.
Wow.
Friendships are forever.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, that makes me so excited for heaven.
It's going to be wonderful.
Oh, my Lord. I need to get into the book now. I'm having such a glorious time just letting the Holy Spirit move. And I believe there's so much to say. And let me say this to you. I believe this year there's going to be many attacks on our grid. God's been teaching me this for how long? A decade.
Yeah.
To watch it.
Yes.
And it's happening. We've had over 100 attacks on our grid. But I just want God's people to be ready.
Yes.
I want you to be prepared. I want you to know Jesus. But I sound like a prophet of doom, but if you know the book of Revelation, there's some very difficult times coming according to the Bible.
That's correct.
And we need to be ready as the church.
That's right.
Amen.
What are the sacrifices of the holy priesthood in the temple of God today? What you talk about that.
Well, that's in the first two chapters of this book.
Yes, it is.
We finally get to the subject of apostles and prophets about chapter 3. But in chapter one, we talk about what is the vision of the church. Uh-huh. What is the church? And, you know, most people think of the church as the body of Christ, and that is one metaphor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the body of Christ is called a vineyard, but the most often metaphor of the church in the entire New Testament is a temple. Mm-hmm. We are the temple of God.
Yeah.
Paul said, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, mm-hmm. and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And in the Old Testament temple, there were priests. That's who we are, mm-hmm. but we're in the new temple of God. Amen. And our job is to serve God's people and to bring sacrifices of praise and sacrificial gifts. You need to understand that your giving is not just the giving of money and saying goodbye to cash.
Right.
You're bringing something precious to the house of God. And as priests, that's one of our roles, to worship, to serve, to praise. And the priests in the temple of the Old Testament, they were busy serving all the time. That's who we are. And God is building a habitation for his Spirit. That's us.
Yes.
We're the temple of God.
Amen.
Oh, I'm excited about that. It's real, isn't it?
It is real.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited
about it. We're the living stones in that house.
Think about that.
Praise God.
I cannot understand. I think I do understand, but yet that God put you so far from us. I wish you were down the road from me.
Well, I kind of am on TV. Oh.
But with satellites, we can do it, can't we, with all that we have. But I want the people to understand God placed you on purpose in Moscow. And he loves the people of Moscow. He loves the people all around, the countries you go to. He so loved the world.
Amen.
And I think we've got to understand that the people who there want to kill us, God loves them. He wants them to be saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Look at there. We have your church on the screen. They're putting it up.
Oh, that's our precious church.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful
right
church.
Right downtown Moscow. Thank you.
Are you Spirit-filled church? I mean,
of course.
Are you like Pentecostal?
I don't know what else to be.
Are you Pentecostal, would you say?
Well, we're kind of Baptist-costal. You know, Denise and I grew up Baptists, then we got filled with the Spirit. So we believe in the teaching of the Bible and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We believe in both.
Yeah.
You believe in the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
Is Brother
Jim, we have seen the dead raised. We have seen everything. You know, people, when we moved to the Soviet Union, people said, oh, your kids are going to miss so much. They're not going to have American malls or American movies. No, our kids saw the dead raised.
Amen.
They saw demons cast out.
Amazing.
And, you know, you're talking about how God placed us. God places every person in their place. And God wants every person to be a light to shine in darkness.
Yes.
God has a call for you. And God wants you to be the best you can be right where you are. You don't have to live in Moscow to shine. You can shine in your family.
That's right. Amen.
And there's, I believe, a group of people that are here, they're my, I can't say cheerleaders, can I? But they come and help me do a show. And we're going out to New York. We're going out, I mean, we're in big cities. We're in Los Angeles. We're in all these great cities of America. Almost every major city of America, this program is on the air. But here we are up in the hills. God's placed us all in strange places.
He has.
and yet, people come and move. I hope we can pack Morningside out this year. Mm-hmm. Nena, we have the lots for sale now. People can buy a lot and get ready to build a home or a cabin here.
Yes.
Even today, when we drove onto this property, my son said, Dad, what would be the chances of this? This is in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
And God is doing this amazing thing.
It's true.
And then he said, how about Andrew Womack?
Yeah.
He's up on the top of a mountain.
Yes.
Yeah.
God
I've
is
never been to his place.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yes.
But this is wonderful. I'm telling you,
but
the presence
God
of God
put
is
us here. Lori.
Yes.
Nena.
Yes.
We were in Florida at Camp of Hope, and we were only paying $1 a year to rent Camp of Hope. And it was a lovely little place, I think. Lori thought it was a little out in the world. out in the
woods.
Well,
it was a possum capital of the world, they said. So I was
You don't like possums?
Well, I'd never seen one, but, you know, that was my first. I'm from the, you know, suburbs in the city.
Baker,
where did you bring me now? I said I would follow you wherever
We lost our dollar lease, as I tell you so often. And we looked everywhere to go. We looked everywhere, Rick. I mean, we were ready to buy a building out in the wilderness in Florida.
In the panhandle.
And nobody would turn our calls hardly. And we couldn't negotiate. And we had no place to go. This was the only place, Mondo, you were with me, that opened up. And now we find out that after we got here, we didn't find out before. Corrie Ten Boom prophesied that a great move of God was going to come. And she was flying in a little plane, and she pointed down here, and she told the pilot at the landing, he said, there's no airport down there. And she said, yes, there is. You know, Corrie, she was strong, too. And I love her. I've interviewed her, you know, and I miss the saints. You know, my guest list is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. They keep dying. It's unbelievable what's going on in the world. But Corrie Ten Boom prophesied over it. And so we came here. As I said, we didn't have to make up our mind because we had nowhere to go. And we packed up U-Hauls and all. And
kids,
here we
dogs,
come.
Mondo.
Of our adopted kids. Nana, do you remember coming here?
Yes, I was 12 years old. Yes, I remember.
And now you're running this ministry.
Yes, amen.
Thank God for our children. Mm. Thank God for the plan he had for our life.
Yes.
Your sister is a big, big part of this, running this ministry
too.
Little Lori, right? We call her Little Lori.
Yes.
And so, Sue, do you remember when you were in Russia, it was an epic trip for you?
Oh, it absolutely was an epic trip for me. I was able to spend 15 days in Samara. And at the end of the trip, we were able to go into Moscow. But we were there for 15 days, and we toured schools. And we were able to preach and teach, and I was able to sing in those schools.
And you guys were able to give out Bibles.
Yes.
You fell in love with the Russian people.
Well, absolutely, and they were falling in love with us, and it was a mutual thing. It was absolutely beautiful, and they were literally, they would bring us gifts and their treasures, and I still have those things from back in the day. One of the girls brought me her kindergarten school book from when she was a child. Another one brought me a little yellow cat figurine, and the tears that we shed during those days. There was one girl that brought a light fixture off her home because that's all she had to give. And I had brought tons of bubble gum and candy. I just packed my suitcase full. And so I was able to give out, you know, like some bubble gum and candy and do some things like that. And almost 500 kids were saved during that time.
Amen.
Tell me about the people of Russia. I want everybody to understand, I'm where God called me. I know. I'm not going to tell you. But you know you're where God called you.
We do. If you watch today what's happening in America, it's kind of like we've been there and done that. Because in America, they're taking down statues.
That's right.
They're cancel culture. Education has been invaded.
That's right.
When communism came to power, the first thing they did was start tearing down the old statues.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Krupskaya, who was the wife of Lenin, was put in charge of education. And she said, we have to change the minds of these kids to really create a Marxist society. Mm. And then they began to cancel language. And then they developed what were called thought police. And if you didn't think correctly, you were in trouble. And what's happening in America today is an absolute repeat of what happened starting in the year 1917 in the Soviet Union.
It really is.
Wow.
And people today in America are so uneducated, unfortunately. I mean, a lot of kids can't even write cursive anymore.
What has happened
is atrocious, that they are not aware that what's taking place here is a repeat.
Big percentage of our school students want socialism.
they don't know what it is.
No. That's right.
They don't know what Marxism is.
They don't know. They don't know.
They're being lied to.
And our friends in Russia say, what is wrong with those people in America? What are they thinking?
Are they talking about sex change in Russia?
No.
Oh.
No. It's forbidden. It's against the law.
You're kidding.
No, that's against the law. That's against the law. LGBTQ
is prohibited. This is a shocking thing.
Prohibited.
I mean, our president and the leaders of our country want to teach sex change starting in kindergarten.
Yes, that's right.
That a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. And I think it's an absolutely insult to Almighty God.
Well, and a major university in the East just said that we're all born racist. Mm. That is not true. People, their brains have fallen out of their heads. They're just too open-minded. Their brains fell out.
That's so true.
That's why we have to have Bible teaching.
Yes.
The Bible brings a soberness. And unfortunately, many American churches today have a lot of good inspirational preaching.
Right.
They've got a lot of good music. But you know what? When time gets rough, you can't build your life on good music.
That's right.
You have to have the Word of God to stand on.
You have to.
And people need to go to churches where they're going to hear the Bible taught.
Right.
I want to eat the Bible.
And that we're supposed to.
I mean, I just want to devour it. I really want people to get this book because it looks big, but you can read it. It's not. Mm-hmm. You just do one page at a time. That's all. And you get knowledge. And when you start getting knowledge, you're going to get close to God.
Brother
you start knowing the Bible.
Anybody who
real.
Gets this book is going to say, wow,
yeah.
I did not realize what I had ordered because mm-hmm. it is really worth right. every yes. single cent. It is loaded.
What
a gift.
It is. It's just loaded.
Will you say that this book could help people be from being deceived?
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. It's like fake currency. If you know what real currency looks like,
that's right.
then you can quickly recognize a counterfeit.
Yeah.
This will help you know who is really an apostle, who is really a prophet. It's not to create suspicion. We're not in that business. No. But it's to help people learn how to think and to discern.
Yes.
In your book, you warn about delving into the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wrote about that in Colossians. What must believers be cautious of mm-hmm. in this area?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. And what is the occult? The word occult mm-hmm. really describes prying into secret realms without permission.
Wow.
That's what the occult is. It's using a crystal ball or tarot cards somehow to pry your way into another realm. But when you study the New Testament and the Old Testament, you never find people sitting around saying, let's force a revelation. Let's force our way into the spirit realm. But it's just common people who suddenly are invaded by God. Mm-hmm. God invades your world and suddenly you see something you've never seen before. But the occult is prying its way into another realm without permission. So we need to go God's way.
Yeah. We have to.
You tell a story in your book that helps demonstrate how the church at Thessalonica was dealing with false prophecies. Can you share that example with
us? I sure can. Somebody in the church of Thessalonica was giving prophecies that really upset the whole church.
Mm.
And it had to be somebody very notable in the church or it wouldn't have upset the whole church. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they were saying, you know what, we're done with these prophets. Don't make that mistake. A lot of people have taken that route in the past 2 years. They said, been there, done that. We heard prophecies that didn't come to pass. And they said, we're just done with this. That's not the right approach. That's not the right approach. Do you stop driving your car because some people have car accidents? No, you just learn how to responsibly drive your car.
Right.
Do you stop using cash because sometimes there's counterfeit cash? No, you're just careful to make sure you're using the real deal. And the church of Thessalonica was making the mistake of saying, been there, done that, we're through with prophecy. They were quenching the spirit. And Paul said, don't you do that. But he said, test the prophecy mm-hmm. and hold on to what is good. There's a lot of good that we need to be holding on to in prophetic ministry, yeah. which is why you have the voice of the prophets.
Yes. Can a prophet make an error?
A prophet can make an error, and making an error does not make you false. There's a difference between being false and just making a mistake. Brother Jim, I'm a Bible teacher. And in the course of my ministry, there are many things I've taught in the past that I had to go back and correct.
Really?
That does not make me a false teacher. It just means I grew a little bit and my understanding got better. And sometimes prophets have to self-correct, and they have to be willing to do that.
Would you call yourself still a student?
Absolutely. Yes. Think about the Apostle John. He was 92 years old when he received the book of Revelation.
Wow.
He saw something at age 92 he
had
never
seen. Hey, guys, it's okay to be old.
Yes. We're going to grow as long as we're here.
That's right.
And we're going to grow when we get to heaven.
That's it. Yes.
You're encouraging me today.
Good. You're just ahead of us, Brother Jim.
Well, I was 83 a few weeks ago, and I've been, since I had a stroke 2 years ago, it's left me fairly weak, so I fall over sometimes a little bit and all, but I've asked God to help let my brain stay, and that's why I was so interested in Dr. Don Colbert's book on the brain. But you're talking about people in the Bible that lived to be old. You were just with one of the great women.
Oh, Marilyn Hickey.
Yeah. We love her.
Were you at her church or at her studio?
We were with her.
Studio?
Yeah, we were in her studio. But when I look at you, Kenneth Copeland, Marilyn Hickey.
She's an old friend of mine.
Joyce Meyer. Mm-hmm. You guys are setting the standard for the rest of
now,
us.
Now, how old is she?
Marilyn?
Yeah.
She's 91.
And
you know she's doing TV all the time.
She says it's so great to be old. She said when you're old, you can say anything.
That's right.
People give you license they don't give to anybody else.
It's true.
Thank God.
Yeah. That's what Jim says, too.
You say, honor the hoary head, the Bible. Mm-hmm. So that's gray hair.
That's true. It's an interesting scripture.
Yeah.
And Jim, on the day after we were on her program, she was doing a remote to 15,000 Pakistanians preaching salvation and healing, and then to 500 Pakistanian pastors.
Marilyn's all there, I'm telling you.
Right there. Now, she hasn't stopped.
God doesn't kick out the old preachers.
The newest statistic shows that if you have used your mind hits its peak about the age 80. Mm. And from 60 to 80, your mind can increase 300% in effectiveness. That's what I'm claiming.
Wow. That's encouraging, people. Come on, let it happen.
Wow.
So in the end times, don't you believe God wants to use all of us, the young, the old?
And the young people need us.
Oh, totally.
They need us.
They do.
The young people have been sold a horrible bill of goods.
They have.
In the educational system. What is the end time challenge for the church that you write about toward the end of your book?
Well, we have to stay on track with the scripture.
Yes.
The scripture is the anchor. You know, you can have a move of the spirit, but if it's not anchored to the scripture, it always gets off. Mm-hmm. And so we as the church have to stay anchored in the scripture, empowered by the spirit, and remember that we're here for the sake of the Great Commission.
Amen.
Yes.
We're here to reach the world.
At the end of each chapter, you include questions for deeper consideration. How can these questions help our study of the Word, do you feel? Why did you put them in there?
I think you need to process what you've read. And this book is so substantial that I want people to end every chapter by seeing what it means for them. What is the practical application to them? Mm-hmm. For example, why do you need to know what is an apostle? Mm-hmm. Why do you need to know that? Why do you need to know who is a real prophet? Why do you need to know that? Well, these questions are designed to help you. And friend, I want to tell you, I know that you're hearing a lot of stuff today on social media, YouTube, all over the place. Some of it is just pure nonsense, but it's not all nonsense. Some of it is real, legitimate, apostolic, and prophetic ministry. And you need to know what is and what is not.
So
you
God,
need to know that.
In this book, God's going to help us discern.
Yes.
Truth.
Actually, it's the roles of apostles and prophets in the past, in the present, and in the last days. We're in the last days.
Yeah, and you talk about that in chapter 9.
We need to know
that. The role of New Testament and last days prophets.
That's right.
We must get this book. Mm-hmm. And I have one at my house. It's going to be in my permanent library. I want you to get it and put it in your permanent library and get one for your pastor. He will thank you for it because this is something he's going to love.
Or your Sunday school teacher or whoever leads your, you know, small groups, your whatever. You
the last time we were here, Brother Jim said, he was talking about the size of my books. He said, I like the size of your books because when they sit on my shelf, they make me look smart.
Yes, it's so true. No, that is so true. You should see the bookcase after my mom passed away. I got her favorite bookcase, and we put it in Jim's home office. Yeah. And we have all your books. Like, it does make you look smart, honey.
I need to buy another bookcase. I really do. But I have library here. I have thousands and thousands of books, and I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. Here's what the scripture tells us. In the word of God, it tells us in verse 12 here, it says, Lord, help. Godly men are fast disappearing. Where in all the world can dependable men be found? Everyone is a deceiver. Everyone is, and flatterers and lies. This is why you've got to know the truth. This is why you've got to get into books like this to find out who's the real apostles, who's the real prophets, and how do I know it? And it says there's no sincerity left.
Until you get to page 609, I mean, there's so much in here. It is so rich. It is so deep. It is so, it's gonna blow your mind. You're going to study it. Keep it by your Bible. Keep it by your bedside. But look at this, Jim. You're going to love this. Right here, page 609. Who was Simeon, the prophet who prophesied over Jesus?
I love that.
Oh, I love this. Yes, me too.
Don't forget, order your 30-year shelf life food. Put it away. Even if we don't have terrible problems that we're going to run out of food, you could use this if you got fired from your job and you can't buy food. This makes what, 60 meals?
Yes, there's 60 meals with 200 servings in the 60 meal bucket, and there's 13 different varieties of food in there. The black bean burger, oatmeal, there's the rice, the marinara, Dad, that's your favorite, the spaghetti marinara. There's 13 varieties of food, 200 servings, and that's for a donation of $225 to the ministry. That includes shipping and handling.
Our time's gone. I have to go for today, but I want to thank Rick and Denise Renner. They'll be back with us again.
Thank you.
God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.